And we're live. A Modern Hoops podcast show is fresh. What you laughing about?
Because he was about to cough and then you started talking.
I was about to burp.
He was about to burp. And then he looked directly at me and I was like, I see you. I see you.
This is the second time that has happened.
I see you.
All right. Okay. All right. Hi, guys. Hi, America. Hey. We're live. Modern Hoops podcast show with the fresh opinion views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg. I'm here with the homies, Brian, TK, Leek. Is on the way. 20 minutes, right?
Should be 15 by now.
We'll see. and our boy, Dunk Man Keith.
And talk Yer. To
him. Hey. All right, so we here. We lit. We live.
He exists.
You keep saying that.
I know.
Like, wait, it's on. I know. It's documented.
I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care. Let me do me.
Man. All right, let's get to it, man. Let's get to it. How we feeling today?
Feeling good, man. School's getting ready to start back up, so Google Classroom's a struggle. But I'm going to make it.
TK?
Literally the same thing that he just said.
Yeah. Our two educators in the room.
Two black yeah. male teachers. I'm
got to.
It.
Got
two
to.
Educators in the room. Keith, how you feeling, bro?
I'm cool. I had to turn myself back up. Okay. I didn't want it to be like me over here.
Hey, what's that kid?
Hey, Arnold.
Yeah. Like that, just in the background, breathing heavy.
He was always following what was hell good.
Yeah, I don't know. I cannot remember his name though.
I'm looking up
stats. We don't need that.
Hey, man, that's what we have multiple tabs for.
Oh,
I guarantee you'll pop up kid that follows Helga.
That's crazy. If y'all don't notice, we doubled back. We got two episodes this week. We dropped one Wednesday. And we back another for today, which is, we're recording Wednesday. This will be out Friday, so Friday for y'all. Reason we did that was to get back on schedule. We took a break. And so we just, what's his name, Brian? He ain't got a name, do we?
Brainy, that was his name. Brainy.
Brainy?
That was his
name.
They call
him Brainy? Oh,
Brainy, that was his name.
Okay. Close to Brian.
It is. I like it. That's why I really didn't want to say that. I was like,
But yeah, so this two episodes this week. I hope y'all enjoy both. I hope y'all enjoy this one. As always, please subscribe, support, comment below anything that y'all may agree or disagree with. We appreciate all the comments and all the conversations. So, yeah. Y'all ready?
For sure.
Let's get it.
Utah.
Yeah.
Denver. Denver.
Game 7.
Donovan Mitchell.
Versus Jamal Murray.
And it really wasn't
Donovan. It won't. It was Nikola Jokic, baby.
It was.
I love that one.
It was a good, hard fought, like you said, 90s of a game. At first, when I was watching it from first reaction, I wanted to call it sloppy, but it really wasn't.
It was Game 7.
And
the spaces get tighter. You start playing inside out more, especially when you have like.
Legs
two premier, yeah, two premier bigs. One is both of them world class talents, but on the offensive end, we know what Jokic can bring you. On the defensive end, we understand what Rudy can give you. And he got off to a little slow start, but really, really picked it up and played extremely well. I'm talking about Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
But it was game seven basketball. Although that space that's generally there in the new wave of basketball, and this is why y'all compared it to the 90s and the 2000s, it wasn't there. It was really, really tight. It's where the creators can thrive, but Utah was hurt because they only had two people that can create shots for themselves with Donovan Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson. So I'm not calling it sloppy because they were gassed, exhausted. Right. But it was.
You can still call it sloppy. There was a reason for it to be sloppy. That's the thing.
I guess
sloppy,
yeah, though. But I wouldn't down it like that. Like I guess I wouldn't. Call it sloppy because I feel like it's a kind of an insultish term because it's a game seven, they're exhausted. This is how it was going to go regardless. I would have been more surprised if we actually saw one of them go for 40 or 50 again because I'm just like, oh, y'all just don't care. But I expected the game to go like this. It was a beautiful game. It was probably like one of my favorite games that I watched in a while.
Yeah. Reports are saying that this is the highest rated or watched game in the bubble, outside of the first one, first restart game with LeBron and
Clippers Lakers.
So, a lot of people were kind of making jokes about how people weren't watching basketball anymore to make a political stance, and here we are, you know.
Can we dead that whole conversation right now?
It's funny.
It's not the ratings. It's because people are watching it on streams now. And because
Brian's
people
snitching
only,
on the community.
I don't. The community knows. The only people that don't know are the people that aren't in the community. So this is for them. Like, people are watching the games on stream, or you have the more real casual fans who are only watching the highlights after the game, those 9-10 minute YouTube clips that people pull up. Right. Like, that's where the views are going now.
Right.
The NBA does not have a viewership problem. Look at every all the most popular athletes in America are basketball players, but they got a viewership problem. Come on, man. It gotta make sense somewhere. Come on.
You're right.
Shout out NBA Streams XYZ.
Facts.
Shout out Crack Streams.
Shout out Crack. RIP Reddit. if we gonna do it, let's do it.
My A, man.
Y'all just gonna snitch on the
crew. Free stream is live,
bro,
too.
I couldn't afford NBA TV at one point in my life. I'm not gonna front.
Bro,
like,
I'm watching it through my PS4 right now. I don't care.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not gonna get these corporations. They billionaires already.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, I'm not front on that. Yeah, you right. And I'm stealing your streams. No, yeah, I'm stealing your viewership.
He said that.
That's on me. That's on me. See, now you wild. Wow.
Hey, he can search us all.
Exactly.
They can
like,
come get us.
They already like he already puts all your social media out there.
Guess,
like,
allegedly.
I'm allegedly Tamon King. All right, let's continue.
Figuratively.
Let's continue.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
I haven't seen nothing like that since Kyle in high school.
Oh, that is not the
shout
same.
Shout out Kyle Smith.
Kyle, not the same. Oh, not the same.
Kyle moment.
Hey, he got it.
let's
I love you, Kyle. Donovan Mitchell drops 22 and 9. He has 9 turnovers. Nick Jokic and Nikola Jokic dropped 30, 14. Not to be forgotten, I believe, I want to say he had 18 and 15.
Talking about Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. I want to say he had 18 and 15. I didn't write that down.
Rudy Gobert had 18 rebounds and 19 points.
18 rebounds, 19 points.
Yeah, so he
wow.
had 19,
18. And majority of his points came in the fourth in that stint. I think he had like 12 in the fourth. Played really good towards the end. However, once again, like you mentioned, the lack of creators on the floor definitely played a part. Mike Conley
was a horrible game.
Was missing. I think he had 8 points.
Yeah, he went 2 for 13. He had 8 points, 7 assists. He took care of the ball.
Yeah, he just couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah, like, that's what it is.
I mean, truth be told, nobody in the game could hit a shot, bro. So
it's
I mean,
game seven. I expect people to have poor percentages.
Yeah, it was bad.
So, reactions to the game outside of sloppiness. What do you think of Utah? Is this still the same issue we've mentioned before? They just don't have enough. Or are they relying on Donovan too much? Did we see, a growth in Rudy Gobert, who kind of came on strong offensively?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Like, do they have enough to win a championship? No, of course not. To get past the Nuggets, they should have. They were up 3-1, period. Like, I'm always going to say, like, you're up 3-1, you let somebody come in and beat you 3 times in a row. And I understand, like, this was unprecedented. This was a historic game. You have 2 people just going for the most points ever in a playoff series. Like, they're going. I'm not even really angry or mad or even upset that the Jazz lost. Or not even that surprised. The Nuggets were the better team going into this. I was more surprised that they got down 3-1 rather than the Jazz blowing the 3-1.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. I think this series showed everyone a lot about just the younger talents in the NBA. Because, mind you, we're talking about Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, 2 young guys who've never made an All-Star game, both dropping 50 points multiple times in the same series.
Yeah.
That shows you just the way the league is headed in terms of the perennial talent, especially on the perimeter.
Right.
With all these young guards. But I think the Jazz are going to make moves. There's already been reports that they're offering Donovan the max. And it seems like he's going to sign it,
not
of
sure.
course. You got to sign that first bag, regardless. But I don't, as far as a team, I always thought the Jazz was going to hover around being a second-round team. Now, what's pushed them into the conversation for Western Conference Finals is always going to be hard. Because just the talent in the West, period. We know we're going to get the Warriors back next year. Right. Still going to have the Clippers and the Lakers. Who knows what moves other teams might make that I'm probably slipping in the back of my mind. The Nuggets are still going to be there as well. So, like I said, I didn't take really away anything other than just appreciating the series for what it is.
Okay.
Because I really think everybody gave it their best effort and played their heart out. Rudy Gobert, that game seven, like, really appreciated him showing up. Jokic was about time he really dominated because he was supposed to be the best player on the court this entire series, and he wasn't. And this is what I was telling Leak as well. I told him the Jazz got up 3-1 because Donovan was the best player on the court when, in theory, it's supposed to go Jokic. Yeah. And it didn't even have to go Jokic-Jamal. It just had to be Jokic. You're supposed to be some of, I think, Brian, you had him at the best center in the league. I think earlier on I had, like, Joel Embiid. But Jokic, you're supposed to be, and I'm not too mad he was going against a former defensive player of the year, but, you know, you still expect a little bit more. But he showed up. He showed out in that game seven. So hats off to you. I'm not going to down you. I didn't think you played badly throughout the series. I just thought he wasn't himself until that last game.
Okay. Okay. B, out of Utah, what do we notice?
I mean, Utah, they are what they are right now. Like I said, they're a team that's heavily relying on Donovan Mitchell. I'm at the point now where if I'm Utah, I'm looking to trade Rudy Gobert. The experiment is over. I'm sorry. Like I said, I know people are so hyped with Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell's performance. And, yes, it was spectacular to watch. And they went all out, like historic. I said. Historic performance. But can we also acknowledge Rudy Gobert and Nikola Jokic are two of the worst pick-and-roll defenders in the NBA?
Yeah.
They are bad. And it was obvious because every time Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell got a pick-and-roll opportunity against them, it was a bucket.
Yeah.
So it was just like – it was like this thing where it's like you got two guys who are both great shot makers, who are both elite pick-and-roll operators, and they were just abusing each other or abusing the opposing big man every time down the floor. Yeah, with Utah, though, the problem is I don't really know how many moves they can make. I mean, like I said, I'm looking to trade Rudy Gobert, but once again, I don't really know what you'll get for him. Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Mike Conley, these are all guys who are solid NBA players. But nobody that's going to push the needle. And truth be told, they aren't players who are necessarily going to get better as time goes on.
Right.
Like, the only player that you know is probably going to continue to get better is Donovan Mitchell. But how much better can you be than 50 balls every other game in the playoffs? Like, what else can he do?
He did everything.
Like I said, this idea of like, oh, he's going to get better. It's like, what is really better than this?
Well, I think you can 70?
Statistically, what are we saying?
I wasn't even thinking about statistically. He can, want, in terms of getting better, you can affect the game in different ways.
That's true.
And we've seen it with like Jimmy Butler. He doesn't always put up crazy numbers. Oh, we'll get to his game
him.
One.
We're going to talk about him.
But generally, Jimmy Butler can have an 18 8 and 4 night, but he affected winning so much. Donovan, you're going to be able to shape the game other than scoring. He's going to have to be able to do that. And I mean, that comes with maturity down the line.
But you know the difference is between those two? Jimmy Butler's a 6'7 wing.
I mean, for sure, but there's different ways. Like, Chris Paul wasn't just a scorer. And I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell was Chris Paul.
But Chris Paul's never been a scorer. He's
but that's
been
what
a
I'm saying. There's other
guard.
Ways for players to affect the game so like, other than scoring.
But my point
and
is
he's
like,
going to have to be able to pick it up.
But, like,
in
with
order
Mitchell,
to,
like, what other way do you want him to affect? Only other way he can affect the game is just being the pure
would,
point guard.
No,
on
I was
the
just
floor.
Saying him getting better.
But I'm saying, like,
with this team, I do agree. I think they hit their, like, their peak. Like, they're going to have to make moves in terms of getting better. Like, they're a second round team. I don't see any small additions making or pushing them to the Western Conference Finals. They're going to have to – I thought Rudy Gobert was going to get traded, period. I said this – I think I said this last year when they exited. I was like, oh, Rudy Gobert may have another season, and that's it, before they look to move him and surround Donovan Mitchell with a different kind of – a different kind of roster. But I don't know what that looks like. I don't have any hypotheticals in my head. I just know that's – if you're talking about championships – that's the next step logically.
I definitely understand. I see where you're coming from, and like you're saying, he's not a 6'7 wing. I get what you're saying. I did see flashes where there were moments where I was like, I would rather have Donovan Mitchell with the ball making decisions outside of Mike Conley.
Yeah.
And I mean, those passes he was making, he threw one wild, like great no look pass coming across the lane, and I was like, wow, I didn't think he could make that kind of a pass, and I was like, okay, that's solid. Like, but and so.
Go ahead.
Statistically, we're looking at it like
Yeah, what at more best, can he do?
At best, he could add, what, 3-4 more assists and keep up his point per average, which would be crazy.
That's insane. He averaged, like, what, 37 that would be or something
the greatest combo guard in NBA history. Like, right. if that's what we're talking about. Right, like, right. So if that's what we're saying, he has
like
the 20,
like, dude. 25 and 10 on average. I mean, but he's, once again, he shouldn't have to do that. Like, he shouldn't have to.
No, they're going to surround him he with more have to do that. Perimeter help. Like, we saw it in that game 7, where it was a stretch, especially in that fourth quarter, where Donovan didn't touch the ball. They were denying, and making somebody else make a play. You need somebody that you can really rely on in that. And that was supposed to be Mike Conley. He's supposed to come in with the backcourt veteran leadership. He hasn't looked like the Mike Conley that we saw in the Grizzlies, of course, for various reasons. But, and shout out Mike Conley. This is no disrespect. This is just...
I mean, Mike Conley didn't play bad in the series until this game. Yeah, this is the one bad game
he
had.
I don't think
he
really played horribly this game. I think
he just couldn't make a shot. Like,
yeah,
he just bad.
But it's something that needs to change. Like,
yeah,
and I can't even hold that game 7 on Donovan because he did every. It was one point they were down 20, and then Donovan went on like a 14-point stretch dolo from the second quarter to the third quarter. He willed his team back into the game. Then Rudy Gobert came and picked it up when Donovan started being exhausted, as figuratively everybody would be. But, yeah.
And I guess that kind of goes back to my point. Like, what more can – like, asking him to now be the leading scorer and now be your pure point guard, like, those are the only two ways a 6'3 guard can affect the game. So, if you're asking him to do all of that, like, I don't know any player that can do that consistently and lead a team to a title. Like, it's too much for any – it, like I said, if he was able to do that, it would be the greatest performance in NBA history almost.
Yeah. They're going to change the roster and surround him, and he's going to find different ways to affect winning with that new roster as well, so you don't have to have a 57-point loss.
Right.
Right. Stuff like that, it shouldn't happen.
Facts.
So, flipping teams, looking at Denver, they move on, they play the Clippers. Mm-hmm. What are their best chances against the Clippers? I know we don't have a leak here. I hate talking about the Clippers and him not being present. But what are we looking at? Are we looking at a 5-game series, a 6-game series?
Which version of the Clippers are going to show up?
That's the million-dollar question. That's a great question. I didn't even think about that.
That's the real question.
But the Nuggets are exhausted as well. They have to play tomorrow. So right. They played last night. You get one game rest, and then you have to go against arguably a championship favorite team.
Yeah.
So in the series, if I'm going to call it, I think they get a game for sure. I don't think they get swept. I initially called 6, but it could go 5. I think it's 6 still, though. I think they finally put out a way. But in terms of how can they actually like get these games against the Clippers, I think that was your initial question.
Yeah.
Jokic will have to play like he did last night, where he has to be the dominant big on the floor. I think you have to hit your jumpers as well. If the Clippers do come to play defense and they strap up on the perimeter, you have to knock down the open shots that you do get. And you're going to get a fair amount of them, but you're going to have to hit that. You're going to have to hit that jumper. Gary Harris, I hope he gets back into rhythm quicker. Y'all know I'm really high on Gary Harris. I think he's not like a phenomenal player, but I think he's like really, really solid.
Yeah.
And I think he can be really serviceable. Like, he can be a guy that plays in the NBA for 10 years.
He's halfway there already.
I think this series, I'm going towards you. I think this series is more about Jokic than it is about Murray.
For sure.
In my eyes. I think Murray.
Jokic has to dominate inside.
I think Murray's going to get canceled out.
I think Jokic is getting canceled out.
Like, I, in terms of Pat Bev comes back, then you still have Paul George on the wing. You still have Kawhi on the wing. It's almost like they're going to come in completely different than what we've seen them play against Utah. Like, not the same game plan at all. And I know a lot of teams don't do that. Like, a lot of teams, but I've always said Denver has the personnel to do that. Like, Mike Malone can actually change the entire system of the team going series by series depending on who he's playing because he has the bodies. He has Mason Plumlee.
I would say they're really versatile.
He has Grant. He has Millsap. He can throw all these bodies on the court. And shucks, he did at one point where I think he had Grant at the three. Like,
for a good period of time.
Like, he had Millsap, Grant, and Jokic on the floor with Murray and I want to say it was Monte.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it was I'm about to say Monte Ellis.
Monte Morris.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, he started. I think he started a game or two.
And that's how they started. Yeah, that's how they started the game. And I was like, man, that's a big lineup. And I think that's what they're going to have to do versus the Clippers. I think they're going to have to go out and really slow down the pace of the game and really work towards Jokic being the focal scoring option, not just being a facilitator, but the scoring option for them, because I don't think Murray is going to be able to score not close to what he was doing.
For sure. And this is the name that I thought of. And, of course, you guys love him, but he's going to have to play not – of course, his all-seeding game reputation, but MPJ is going to have to come in there and be extremely serviceable in terms of scoring for them. In the Clippers series, if they hope to get these
I'll be honest, he's been a slight disappointment.
And that's why I said he's going to have to pick it up. And I wouldn't even call it a disappointment because I looked at the seeding games with a grain of salt. I look at the whole bubble with a grain of salt. We often had that conversation previous pods. So like, if somebody, like, this Donovan Mitchell thing is phenomenal. I'm not taking away from it, but...
Yeah,
it's a whole different aspect when you have to play in front of thousands of fans. And I was talking to Leek about that last night. I was like, this is when they came back. I was like, wow, the Nuggets are really missing home court advantage. Because this is the time where everybody had dead legs. And this is the time where you would
that home crowd would give you
energize you. Yeah, exactly. So you're going to get this adrenaline going to boost you up. So now when you have a monster dunk, it's lights like... flashing, it's people yelling.
Right.
Or you hit that big three, you get to scream, and you didn't have much of that last night. Like, it was some great, great moves being made, great plays being made, and it just still felt deflated. But yeah, MPJ is definitely gonna have to come to play this series. I don't think it was disappointing.
He
back down to earth. That's what I think happened.
I would say slightly disappointing.
Playoff basketball.
I would say it was slightly disappointing, not because he wasn't hitting a bunch of shots or scoring at will like he was during the seeding games. I would say it is because it felt like there were moments in the game where he wasn't paying attention to the details of what was going on, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Getting lost.
It's called being young.
Getting lost, all that in the third. Cool. Getting young is okay. I mean, a part of me wants to give him the pass. But like I said, we're going to mention the Miami Heat. And I ain't seen that out of Duncan Robinson nor Tyler Hero or Kendrick Nunn.
Well, Duncan Robinson isn't your average rookie. Tyler Hero, he's had his moments as well. He just gets covered up because he's playing next to Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and
guys.
Well,
even if MPJ, we can't say he's young. I'm still not going to dismiss it. It's something that he needs to improve on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but like, I'm not going to hold that against him like his first time. And then keep in mind, those guys who have been part of that Miami rotation all year. Like, MPJ literally finally started getting his minutes 3 weeks ago.
Understand,
I'm not holding this against him. It is what it is.
It's something that he needs to get better on.
If he's on
I expect him to get better.
I expect him to get better as well. At the same time, I also look at the situation. What's up, Lee? How we feeling,
what's
boy?
Up, boy?
What's up?
What's good?
Come on, everybody. How y'all doing? What's good, yo?
What's good, boy?
Hey, real quick, I was late. I want to say it, too. I'm sure y'all said it. R.I.P. John Thompson.
We didn't get there.
I figured y'all was going to at least start it off. I just had to say that.
No, man.
I feel you, though. Yeah. R.I.P.
Rest in peace, John Thompson.
Yeah.
Legendary coach, Georgetown.
I didn't want to throw off the docket.
You good. Once again, I'm not even going to say for those who don't know, basketball world, basketball America knows who John Thompson is and the impact he had on the college basketball game. So rest in peace to him. Prayers and condolences to his family and all those who are affected by Patrick Ewing's of the world, the Allen Iversons of the world. I mean, it's Alonzo Mourning.
Like,
everybody. Like, people who didn't even play for him. Like, I was listening
to that whole DMV area.
The Something in the Water, like, that was a great documentary. Like, part of DMV basketball, like, if it's not for John Thompson,
yeah,
we might not be saying today that DMV produces the best hoopers ever.
That's big.
That's true.
Because all of the elite dudes today, I'll say this, all the elite players today and of the past, like 2000s, they were 8, 9 years old in the 80s.
Yep.
When John Thompson was taking these dudes to the chips. So, RIP, man. For real.
For sure. So, Rest in peace, like I said, condolences to his family. What was I?
Just talking about Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that he's struggling to play defense as a rookie in the playoffs, like, it's not shocking to me
at all.
It's not shocking, but that doesn't mean he doesn't need to pick it up. I mean, they're playing the Clippers next. I'm not dismissing
I'm not,
that's all I'm saying.
Here's my thing. I'm not
like,
expecting.
Oh, but it sounds like you're trying to give him a pass. Like, no. Oh, he's a rookie. He's supposed to play bad. You're an NBA professional.
Because he is.
You're an NBA professional. Every rookie plays bad in the playoffs. It's always been next man up. It's always been next man up.
I just heard it. Are we giving Michael Porter a pass for being young, but his teammate don't get one?
Who are you talking about?
Who's his teammate?
Jamal Murray, who's played in the playoffs before and has been in games.
One more time.
Like, but he has been there.
So he gets
like
one,
he's been
one
a
playoff,
starter in the
it.
League for
sophomore
3 years.
Year?
He's
that's
been a
it.
Starter. He's been a
See,
starter.
You're
in
failing
league.
In your
he's
out.
He's been a starter in the league for 3 years. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't been in the rotation.
Six-man league, low management.
Like Jamal Murray's been a starter in the league for 3 years, getting major minutes. Michael Porter Jr. finally started playing 3 weeks ago. Like, come on now. Like, are we really doing this?
Next man up. I just say what you got to do. You got
to
be.
Once again, I'm with the whole next man up. I'm with him having to improve. I'm simply saying, I don't expect him to play well against the Clippers. I think he's going to get worked and destroyed.
We were initially talking about his Utah series.
I was.
And I'm saying, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do against Utah. He scored the ball still effectively, but he got roasted on defense. He's going to do the same thing against the Clippers. He's going to knock down shots, and he's going to get destroyed by Paul George
and
Kawhi
on
defense.
He needs to improve on.
And I'll expect him to improve.
So, no, it was
but
just addiction.
I think,
it was just
I think
more
it's
so
fair.
You sounded passive about his wrongdoings because he was young.
Yeah, because he's been playing for a month. I think it's fair.
He's been playing serious NBA basketball for a month.
Regardless, I think it's fair to say it's still slightly disappointing. I don't think I said anything out of the realm of...
Nobody did.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
out
I
of the realm
I'm not
of,
disappointed because
like,
it's what I expected.
Like, okay, and that's cool. Like, but once again, I have the same right to say...
So this time next year, if MPJ isn't locked
if
down,
he isn't better,
you trade him.
Not locked down, but is he? Is
he's
he
not locked down.
Better?
When you trade him.
Chill, bro. Chill.
First team? Man. No. Oh, no. First team defense. All
right. Chill. We're gonna see what Jamal Murray looks like when ain't Rudy Gobert in a pick and roll.
Bro. Yeah. If there's no Jamal Murray, this series was done a week ago, bro. Come on now. I mean, what are we talking about? What do you mean? I mean.
No, I mean,
I mean
so here,
said,
so
like,
so to get you in,
you,
you just
I'm,
you
just
jumped in the
right?
you jumped in the room swinging, bro.
Hey, bro.
No, realistically, Jamal Murray, I'm struggling because I don't want to say the word backpack, but
he didn't backpack. That would have to he
coming back
to
from
one.
3-1.
He led.
It was
he led the way.
Yeah, it was
he
on his shoulders.
Way. He led the way, and I would to give League some backstory so we can kind of get him in the conversation properly. We were
I just
saying,
been thinking about how y'all said trade him ever since.
Stop saying y'all.
Lee came in.
All I said was see. I just said see what the market was.
Came in with the.
Stop saying y'all.
With the clips, the ammo.
I never
I
said
just
that.
Said,
shut
see what
Wayne.
The market was.
But as I was saying,
hey, Jamal Murray did not. Never mind. Not doing it.
As I was saying. Denver Nuggets. See, you got me all out of whack. Denver Nuggets.
I'm talking about MPJ and he doesn't play defense.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about
the Denver.
Yeah,
talking about
Nuggets,
how the Denver
Clippers
Nuggets
going
are going to look
that
against
series.
The Clippers.
Yeah, and I said one person who needs to step it up was Michael Porter Jr. in terms of his offensive scoring
Thank
as well
you.
Because it's going to be the perimeter defense that they're going to face against the Clippers is the league's best, essentially.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Supposed to be.
It's supposed to be, yeah. It's supposed to be.
But
if
like,
Patrick Beverly is not there, we are not the best perimeter defense.
Or if
it's
PG,
hard to believe that one guy, but
really
you know,
is.
it makes it hard because now like you're 1, 2, and 3. Mind you, if Pat's not there, we go from like I feel like for sure 1 to like still like top 5.
Pat Bev tricked
but
y'all,
but
man.
I'm but Pat Bev he runs his mouth a bunch, but he does serve a purpose. And I think this series they're talking about he should be able to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
I say this series and the LA series. We'll really be able to show the world, like, yeah, he runs his mouth and he's crazy, but like he does serve a purpose to these guys.
Yeah, his purpose is to be a pest. That's his purpose.
And but he does it to perfection. And sometimes there are teams where you need a guy like that. He's a pest that from time to time will hit a tray. That's all we need. Out of him, at least.
That's fair.
All right.
That's a fair description.
I don't
want to
say what I
want. Does anybody here want to see Pat Beverly's handle?
He's on the list, B.
Do you want to see Pat Bev's handle?
He's on the list.
Do I want to see Pat Bev's handle?
You know what I want to say.
Do you?
No.
Okay, then. Do you want to see it?
I don't really care.
Exactly. So he's doing his job.
Like, I don't care about Pat Bev at all.
So I was asking the guys, and he said, I think TK said possibly 6. Most likely 5 because Denver is
exhausted.
Yeah. What do you think the series looks like between Denver and LA?
Now, yeah, I was definitely thinking about that on the way here. I will go with, I'll go with six again, Clippers. I think what it is, it could very well be a, we get the first two. I think we could get the first two and they could come back and get the next two, but I don't see them winning game one.
I don't see them. I think they're going to get smacked game one.
And I'm wondering how much that beatdown could carry over into the next game.
Okay.
But I could see this very well in a week and a half. I could see us being here again in a scenario at a 2-2 once again.
But I don't know. In my head, and why I lean towards 5-2, I think the Clippers don't like the feeling they had leaving that Mavs series.
Yeah.
Because while they did win, it was, I'm not going to say it was an embarrassment or anything like that. It wasn't that harsh, but it was.
Well, it was an indictment. No, you could call
their,
it
their weaknesses. Their weaknesses were exposed. Their
weaknesses were exposed. So definitely I think
they're going to come. Seen as mortal.
Like in their head, they're going to try to go out here and sweep this Denver Nuggets team. But this Denver Nuggets team is a good team. I don't think they're going to sweep them. But that's the energy I expect them to kind of bring.
If the Clippers show up to play ball, it's a sweep.
That's real. If we show up and play ball, and now here's
if
what
they don't, it's five.
Here's what would define that. A couple things. I do want to address. Well, I can save it for later, but. Definitely, if they come to play, it's a sweep. If it's in the middle five, at the worst, this goes six. I'd be shocked if this goes seven. The only way I think it does, if Jokic does what some of us have called him to be the best five in the league.
That's what I said they were going to need to start out with.
If he's the best five, then this could be
interesting. I think it's tough even then because, once again.
I think that gets you six.
I think Jokic could be the best big in the league this series, and they still would get swept.
No, that's crazy. Because
they don't match. This does not.
I know they don't match up well. They don't. I know it's not.
I think the reason why I look at Denver funny this series is, like I said, it's the perimeter aspect of the game. You cannot have Jokic facilitating the offense and also getting these buckets. He can't do both. Like, unlike – he's not Giannis – where he's that agile kind of big. He's a big body, slow feet. On the defensive end, he's
getting cooked.
He's getting cooked. Like, as soon as Trez comes on the floor, he got to come out the game. I'm not saying that they're going to
put him in pick and rolls with Kawhi and PG, he's getting cooked.
I need to see a lot of Kawhi.
And once again, Zubac
is playing well.
Playing well, who's a solid defender. Mm-hmm. And you don't have, and once again, you don't have to be super athletic to defend Jokic.
No, not at all.
You don't. I think all of his buckets are like below the rim.
Yeah, they're skill.
Pop out.
It's skill. It's showing skill, but it's
so
not.
So they get to the rim there, up and under.
So even that matchup, if Zubac comes to play, we could look at a situation where even Jokic doesn't score the ball well. And then now you're looking around saying, who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the guy? Well, like you said, MPJ is a baby, essentially. This ain't going to be the series he goes off. If it is, welcome to the league, young fella.
I'll say this, young. I've seen this from 2018 and now. Young dudes like Paul George, for as far as like playing against them. Donovan, Luka. And like y'all were talking about MPJ when I came in. Yeah, he has to learn a lot about defensively. But he looks halfway right offensively.
Oh, yeah, offensively, he's fine.
And he looks like the type. If he feeling himself one day, and Paul George is, for whatever the reason, in his head, like, I would not be surprised, like, if he just has a good showing. That's why I do give Denver a chance
You were saying.
I'm saying MPJ could have a stretch in a game. Let's not go to the paper and go crazy.
I get it. He could have a stretch in a game.
MPJ will get 14 points one time this year.
I need the people at home to understand. That you were saying Paul George could toss a game because he won't.
I'm not surprised. I just said a game. I didn't say the series, but like, I'll say this. The league is in trouble if Paul George is locked in for every game of a series. If he's locked in every game, then it will be a sweep. Exactly.
Fair points.
I take the good with the bad.
I mean, define locked in. Are we just saying he's making shots or like he's just playing? If he just plays hard, I feel like they're going to sweep this series. That's how bad of a matchup I feel this is for Denver. Because Kawhi is going to show up and get 30-plus, lockdown D.
Kawhi is definitely.
So if he's just saying, playing. If
he's just out there playing defense hard, I feel like they can sweep this series. That's how bad of a matchup I feel this is for Denver.
Where the Clippers will.
And it's sad because I didn't feel like this is the beginning of the season.
I didn't either. I'll say this. Around the time where they got Marcus Morris, they played the one time in L.A. Taman was watching that game with me. Smacked him. This was right before they had played the Lakers the third time and lost. Mm-hmm. They smacked them, and I was like, oh, they're starting to gel. Like, it was all 10 dudes. Like, they're able to match them with them really well. And Denver, they don't have enough creators to go up against the perimeter attack defensively. They don't. Because right now, Gary Harris is not in shape. Right. Or not saying Gary in shape, Harris but playing shape. Anyway. Not like, Will Barton's not even there. Now we're asking Torrey Craig.
Say, you can just go down the list. Like, Jamal Murray has his... If Pat Bev... Especially if Pat Bev plays.
Yeah, if he's, like, if he's very healthy
Jamal Murray
game,
has his hands full with Pat Bev, Landry Shamet. Like I said, they're going to switch Paul George onto him at times. Like, he's going to have all those guys up under him. We already talked about Michael Porter Jr. Like, he has no advantages anywhere.
Yeah.
Your own... Like I said, Jeremy Grant ain't doing nothing. Monte Morris is a spark plug, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but the only advantage they have is Jokic. And as good as Jokic is, he can go get 30... 10-10.
And you could still lose.
And you still would lose. Unless Jamal Murray just goes ballistic again.
Why, and I'll still say this. I think Jamal, like, I don't think he's going to... Pat's not going to take him down to the teams. I think Jamal does understand now. He's played in three consecutive series with a game seven. So this is some heck of experience for him only being in not even two full playoff runs. So I don't think Pat will bother him that much. I think if we can make him have inefficient nights, I think we'll be good.
I would disagree with that. And the reason why I say that is because... Looking at what Taman said before you walked in, they're gonna be exhausted, man.
I'm talking, like, more so games 3 through 6, and that's why I still assume this might go to 6. They're going to lose. I'm giving more so just Denver a little bit of credit to not get swept.
I think if, like, they go down 2-0,
you think they'll just mail it in?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the Clippers are gonna smell blood and just think, like, we're gonna have the Lakers. Assuming they're gonna have the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Let's rest up for as much as possible. Try to keep Pat Bev as healthy as possible because y'all are going to need him against the series against us.
So we could,
So I feel like – I really feel like the Clippers are going to gun for a sweep this time. Like, I think they're coming off of that – of course, they won a series, but it was still a bad look for the Clippers when we spoke before. And they were trying to gear up for the Lakers. I think they're going to try to smack Denver as hard as they can. I think if Jokic does have those 30, 10, and 10 things – games, then it changes things in terms of how many games they will get. I think they will get one, possibly two, if this was spades. But I got it going 5. I'm not mad if it goes 6, but I got it going 5.
Because I'll say that y'all have brought up some definitely good factors. I'll say us in 5. Where we lose the series, honestly, Doc Rivers makes it close because he's the only person that can.
You don't blame Doc.
No. I'm saying
you love Doc.
I'm saying, no. And hear me out. Let me. I'm not blaming Doc.
Rotations be questionable.
And that's really what I was about to say. He's the. And I keep it real, 110%. If we were to ever lose, I would come here and take all of the blame. But one thing I did notice in that Dallas series, and I peeped it all year, Doc. I didn't know if he was using him as a secret weapon, but he was not playing Zoo the minutes he should have got at all. I love Trez. I love the Sixth Man of the Year campaign. He does deserve that because of the energy that he brings. But I was telling T, there's 30 teams in the league. You will get a certain type of stat line against team 30 to like team 13. But the teams that are left today, as far as your semifinal teams and whoever's competing to get there, those stat lines look a lot different. Trez's stat lines against the teams that we're going to face aren't going to be, I believe, his Sixth Man of the Year numbers. And that mainly what I'm saying is he plays, I feel like, Trez a little bit too much. And that's why if he gives Trez too many minutes, Jokic can make this interesting. Because Trez is not in shape to give Jokic 18 right now. And if he's too on the floor too long, we're at a defensive advantage. And Trez cannot stretch the floor. So now, like, we're almost playing 4-on-5 potentially both ways.
Yeah, I understand.
Mix that in with a bad Paul George game.
I understand what Doc is trying to do. I understand what Doc is trying to do because that's essentially Lou Will's crime partner for the most part. And like we mentioned earlier, that the pick and roll they got going on is kismet. Like, that John is
– But that's not even –
That John is almost blood brother. Like,
that
wasn't
hitting the same, though.
You're right.
Dallas series because they had Chris Stapps and Boban. And I was telling T, like, I love their pick and roll action, but, like, against certain matchups – If it's not working, what purpose does it serve us now? Right. If you can't get us 18, you're not the same lob threat because while you are 6'7 and athletic, if it's Chris Stapps or Boban back there, I can't throw you that lob, dude. So now what? Where? And then you can't guard.
Is that potentially is that big lob there in the Denver series?
It'll be there.
It's
more.
Probably not there in the Lakers series.
No,
is it there in the Denver series?
It is there in the Denver series. But mind you, what was this team put together to beat?
I understand.
This is why I'm just scared. Mind you, I don't want everybody thinking I don't like Tress, but like, I keep it real. And like, we are going to reach a time right now where Zoo needs to play more than Tress.
I understand.
This entire year, it's been the other way around, and we can slide by in the regular season with that. So basically, Doc is the only person that can make this series go longer than five. Zoo plays more.
Doc and Paul George.
Doc and Paul George, them two together. Dang, why are they always intertwined, man? Goodness gracious. This daughter of theirs, man. I'm playing. I'm just saying, it's just funny.
This is funny, bro. Why are y'all acting so D?
Shout out Seth Curry. Shout out Seth Curry.
They're extra, bro.
No, bro. I wasn't expecting that. It hit me.
I'm just saying how they're different. Like intertwined. Last series they were intertwined because it was like
verbatim. You said
was no setup,
huh,
was no
Doc
build-up.
And Paul George, huh? This daughter of theirs.
Hey, bro.
Like, she belongs to both of them.
It was not supposed to be that crazy, bro.
Wow.
Shout out Seth Curry.
Doc, if you hear this, man, hit us up in Oxford. It's good at this point, right?
I'm fine with it.
Because if they hear us and get mad, then Doc Rivers and PG heard our podcast. And I think
we did good.
We did all right. I guess.
If PG plays bad game one and then responds to us, man, F these dumb minor hoops pods.
We're
gonna be like, look, fellas.
We made it.
For that, I will sacrifice game one.
I'm not mad at it.
I'll sacrifice.
You know you're real.
I'll sacrifice game. Like I said, we all said we're going to win in five, right?
Nah.
PG play bad, and he mentions us and says, who are y'all?
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'd love it.
So let's get to it. Do we want to do OKC first or Miami first?
OKC, because technically they're still in round one.
Okay. So OKC forces game seven.
Yes. Woo!
Dang,
I was wrong, man. Y'all said seven.
I think
y'all
said seven. You said seven?
I said OKC in seven.
You said OKC in seven?
I said it in seven.
You said OKC in seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so.
Wait. I did because I was like, I did ask you, I was like, who are you rooting for, your baby Thunder or your actual Thunder? And everybody was like, oh man, Lakers, Houston. And I was like, Lakers not gonna play Houston.
I said, I'm wrong. I said Houston in six. And I'm torn right now because I'm like, am I going to bet on CP3?
Are you going to bet Harden closing out a series?
Yeah, am I going to bet on old CP? Am I really going to say old CP3 is really about to beat, like, Harden and Russ together?
So let's get to
it. That's crazy.
Let's get to it. Harden drops 32, 8, and 7.
Oh, my fault.
And drops the ball when they need him.
Harden drops 32, 8, and 7.
I don't know why my mind heard Westbrook had to run it back.
CP3 gets 28.7 boards, 3 assists. Russ Westbrook had 17 points and 7 turnovers. Now, mind you, Harden also had 5, but that's his average.
He averages 5?
Yes!
Well, your usage rate is that high.
Yeah,
you're right.
Is he still averaging
10 dimes, though?
No!
He's not even averaging 10
dimes. Not this series. Normally, his turnovers stay about the same. His assists drop down.
It was always around 4 or 5, but when
it was
like
7 this season.
When it was averaging 10 dimes, so I was like,
all right,
I'm cool. But now we're not even
you
at 10.
You have like a
2-1.
Yeah.
Dang,
it's bad.
So, looking at the game, I know everybody watched at least the end. I know everybody saw what happened in the end. Harden,
it's great.
Harden really didn't touch the ball.
He doesn't like going for the rock late in the games. And we saw that it got highlighted during that Warriors closeout game six when. No, it was game five before the closeout game when Kevin Durant got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And Harden takes like one or two shots in the last eight minutes.
I think it was like 3 shots for the whole fourth maybe.
Go get the
ball. And like 2 in the last 8. Yeah, no KD. We basically flash back to 2015. And you got the better mom.
At 16, at 17, and 18.
Well, I mean, 17, KD was there, right?
I don't care. He still wasn't there. He didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
He still didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
This is who Harden is. Why are we acting surprised?
And
if someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah. And Russ ain't been out the first round.
Russ is the exact same, except he'll go get the ball and turn it over.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which one I like more.
OKC.
Looking at it, Russ in the final minutes had I think four straight turn, at least I know three, four.
He had the turnover and the air ball. The air ball right before the turnover.
So you can count.
I would count the turnover. If you were coaching.
They got the ball.
It's not in the
They kept the ball. They kept the possession.
Okay, they kept the possession. Okay. James Harden did save it off someone's knee. So
He did.
Three turnovers and the air ball. Essentially four straight possessions. And Chris Paul.
We called out the formula.
Chris Paul nailed it. Chris Paul nailed it.
On Sunday, we said that he had to be the best player in the last 8 minutes, and which he was.
He was.
To me, he looked like the best player on the floor in the entire game. Anytime he sat down, things got really, really messy for the entire team. Matter of fact, I was telling Brian before we cut the cameras on, I remember when Billy Donovan sat down in the fourth, and then Houston got off like three straight buckets, and I was like, what are we doing? I need a timeout now, bro. I said, get this straight today.
I was like,
today.
Billy, you're improving as a coach, baby.
Yeah.
Understand the game today. Understand situations.
So, Billy Donovan, and that's crazy, man, now that I think about it. We're about to really see Billy Donovan outcoach D'Antoni.
I mean, that's not surprising. Okay. Let's be real about this. Billy Donovan is
a great coach. It's
a championship coach. I'm going to do something I don't do a lot.
Yeah, you're right. I'll say he's a champion.
I'm going to defend Mike D'Antoni on this.
Really?
Because that was my next question. How much do you blame Mike D'Antoni?
I don't blame Mike D'Antoni at all. He didn't want to get rid of Chris Paul. He wanted Chris Paul instead of Westbrook. He told them, keep Chris. And what they do? Well, nah, we trust him. Chris Paul can't stay healthy. Well, look who missed the first four games of this series.
I mean, I do get your sentiment, but I'm not going to dismiss D'Antoni's blame because he wanted to keep somebody. You had a whole year to work with what you're going to work with.
Goes back to my other point. So you start off the year with Chris Paul, or not Chris Paul, with Harden, Westbrook, and Capella, and y'all had the same system that he's turned into one of the best offenses statistically in the NBA history.
They're always a great offense.
Okay, so here's my Here's my point, though. So statistically speaking, you've had one of the best offenses in the league for years. And then you get Russell Westbrook, and guess what? The offense doesn't work anymore. So you got to trade Clint Capella because guess what? You realize we can't have two players on the court who can't shoot. And Russell Westbrook can't shoot. So now we got to go to this super small ball lineup because that is the only way.
That was dumb.
It was the only way to make Westbrook viable. There's only way to make Westbrook viable.
You and I coaching, we make that work with Russ and Clint. Yes, we do. Don't say you can't.
Not with Russ, Clint, and Harden. Like,
yeah, you can.
No, you can't. Because otherwise you had to fundamentally change Harden's game in the middle of the season.
I don't think you do.
You do.
From a
Harden is dominant.
Why can't I have a pick and roll? Mind you, if anything, he's so concerned about, I can't make Russ shoot threes. If anything, right now it's hurting Harden because I've seen a stat. Basically, they're dying once again by the three.
Of course.
He is on record for being 24% in fourth quarters and overtimes from the three-point line in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's not shocking. It's James Harden.
So, and part of that comes from D'Antoni really saying this whole no mid-range.
Now, you got to think about that because game six, Harden shoots 50% from the field. Mm-hmm. And he goes like 3-for-11 from three.
Yep.
You trade some of those threes out for mid-ranges. Or the middies, or even going all the way to the cup and hitting and going to the free throw line because he's probably the best person in the league in terms of drawing fouls.
Once again, I want to be fair to D'Antoni a little bit. And once again, that's shocking coming from me because it has been on multiple occasions where I said D'Antoni is almost incapable of adjusting anything. So if he makes shots, if Harden makes his shots.
Those are tough shots. That's not how basketball goes.
No. Not three. I'm not talking about three. Okay, if Harden makes mid-range jump shots, does D'Antoni say anything? There has never been a coach. I have never seen any coach in any game of basketball tell anyone to stop shooting a shot he consistently makes.
I want to be clear real quick. Like, I'm not excusing D'Antoni for like putting in the system. I'm not excusing him for like his in-game. Just what I'm simply saying is they gave him a roster that was, I said from the beginning of the season, the very first podcast I said, was fundamentally flawed for what D'Antoni wanted. And now you're seeing the fruition of it. I don't care if they win tonight. Yes, like I said, we're recording tonight. They're going to play the game. I don't care if they win tonight. They're going to get destroyed by the Lakers, in my opinion, because this roster is fundamentally flawed. Everybody's been so hyped by this small ball lineup, and oh my God, they're playing such hard. I don't care.
Only idiots thought this lineup was good.
It is coming to fruition how bad Westbrook and Harden are for each other right now. Because in order for one to be great, the other one has to be diminished, especially in this style of play.
I feel like in this style of play, Yes. Now, one thing I will give D'Antoni good credit for, he did make some minor changes. He turned Russ into the first ever point center we've seen, almost from a standpoint of like, all right, our only big is going to be you posting up. And, you know, that's one thing that Russ is going to definitely need to get to, because I hope everybody sees I love Westbrook. Greatest person ever put on a Thunder uniform as far as legacy standpoint, not talent.
Okay.
But he's losing a gear athletically, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, 40-yard dash, that hasn't changed. But when he's taking off, he's not getting up to level 12. It's like 10. But it's not level 12 no more.
I feel you.
And Father Time is undefeated, but...
Especially for a guy with four knee surgeries.
Straight up. Yeah. We're still doing quad things right now. Of course, when ESPN got highlights of him on the NBA jump, dunking in them ballrooms, like, he's a 6'4 athlete. He's going to look very athletic when he gets up there and dunks. But is that going to be the same when there's a footer there?
True fact.
So I think this is somewhat of a hole that they walk themselves into. Coaching standpoint, you can make it work with Clint, with Russ, with Harden.
So,
but you would have had to put in that.
My question is, how much blame actually is afforded to D'Antoni for that game?
Oh, for that game?
That game?
Do you afford it?
I'll always give him a sprinkle of blame because due to your system.
A little bit of blame.
Yeah, like, okay, due to your system off rip is going to put you
in these situations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets.
But he doesn't get, like, I'm not tearing him down for that game.
We got to talk about Harden, man.
Like, once again, like, people. The only reason I asked is because, of course, you know, mainstream media has looked at this situation and they said, well, if he doesn't win this series, he should be fired. And, I mean, he should be fired because look what you did to him. You handicapped him. You restricted him.
What's funny is, if you fire him, what coach can you get to better coach this roster?
You
got to
blow it. No, you got to blow it up.
But how do you – what do you blow up here?
You send everybody away.
Who?
Everybody.
Who's taking these players?
Bruh.
Who's taking Eric Gordon in his contract?
Those dudes, but Russ and James, I'm sorry, bro. Like,
gotta go.
Yeah.
So if they lose tonight, James or Westbrook gotta
both.
Go.
What are they gonna win me? What are they gonna win me? What will they win me?
You did a complete 180
here's my thing.
They're 30 plus.
Here's the thing. I agree with them. Yeah. I agree. If they don't win tonight, I'm packing bags. Both it's time to go. Somebody, he says, I didn't think he'd be there.
Put it away. Eastern Conference teams will take both of those dudes.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
I say you go the OKC route and get a whole lot of draft picks.
There are a lot of people that answer the phone for James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That's absolutely. No questions asked.
For sure.
I'm just shocked that you bust that 180, though.
No, that's and like really... I said, the only difference is, dude, like...
Ooh, that's interesting.
You are 22. These guys are both 30. Oh,
yeah.
How many times do we have to go through this? Russ, when was the last? Like, Russ, this will now be your third elite.
I think fourth.
What? Well, if you want to say
elite. I wouldn't even say third because he did play with Harden before, so I'm not even going to, like, count it again.
So you're not going to count that first.
But how many first rounds, like, you literally have not been out of the first rounds since Katie left.
Nope. Yeah. Four times. This would be the fourth if they lose it.
And you lost the worst teams.
You've lost the worst teams.
Should have beat that Jazz
except
team.
That first one.
Yeah, no, first one, like, bruh, every team, like,
no, he lost to Houston the first time.
That wasn't
even the MVP season. That's the one.
That was the one.
That's the acceptable
one. That's the one.
We'll say we'll say it's acceptable on paper. What I will say,
of
I even
course,
remember.
It's still a first-round loss.
Still
right.
L, and he took some. What he did for, he would have 50, 12, and 12 to keep him in the game. But them last 2 minutes, he's going to take a bad shot.
I mean,
that is like, dang, dog.
That's what Westbrook is.
A gift and a curse.
Dang, this is crazy. I hate saying foul stuff like this about elite dudes, but.
I don't.
Is he one of the most lowest IQ all-stars we've ever seen?
I've said for the last 2 years, if you were to rank MVPs,
he's the lowest IQ one for sure.
He's lowest IQ? He's probably lowest in my list of, like, if I had to pick a team to start or pick a player to start with of MVPs.
You'll start with AI before him?
They're probably right next to each other on my list.
I would, because I trust AI to close out game more. Yeah. Like, the bottom line is, like, that's what it comes down to. Winning time,
Steve
I trust
Nash
AI
over Russ.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Steve Nash over
Russ. I think it's easier to build a team around Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Dirk over Russ, too?
Yeah.
I mean, Dirk got a chip.
Cool.
Like, it's just easier to build teams
around
those guys.
You see him go 50, 40, 90, like, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of just random reasons.
Random,
MVP. MVP.
KG, whoever you want to name. Like, these are all players
in the modern NBA, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Dang. Russ.
Shout out Russ, though. Like,
he's great.
Yeah. I can't say. Can we say shout out right now when you're in a game 7 that you shouldn't be in?
No, because he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's still one of the top percentile of NBA players that ever played a game. Let's, like I said, yeah. When we throw shade, please understand how we're throwing shade.
Context matters.
We understand Westbrook is one of the elite all-time players.
He's the most athletically gifted dude we've ever seen touch a basketball at the point guard position.
Yeah, it's him or Rose.
Yeah, I was going to say, him or D. Rose.
Yeah, bro.
So, yeah, like, understand, that's what we're saying. But we're also putting in context, of, if that's what Westbrook is, in comparison to those other guys.
Yeah, nah, as a winner, yeah, nah, he's not a winner.
I mean, how many years have we been saying this stuff? Well, at least I have.
I just thought at a certain point in time, my man was going to be like,
people don't turn corners.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to either get a better jumper or I'm going to just make better choices in game. And I think we're now at this point now, I'm just waiting for fans to realize it.
They're not.
Some of these guys either don't work on their games, aren't that committed to winning. They're committed to winning in their way. That happens up here in their head. That might not actually come out on the court, but like, they either guys aren't even getting better, they're not committed to winning, or they're just, some of these dudes eat up on regular season teams because there's tiers.
Just don't have it. I mean, sometimes you just...
There's levels to it.
And so when you're talking about guys who... And it's crazy. It's almost like... What's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like a contradiction. Mm-hmm. He's one of the biggest competitors. But at the same time, his competitive streak is almost what gets him in the way.
No, he just can't. He just doesn't have good. I hate that idea. Like, his competitiveness is the problem. No, Kobe Bryant was super competitive. Yeah. He didn't make dumb decisions at the end of games every game. Like,
you're right.
No, it's not a competitiveness. Here's the thing, though. Doesn't have the IQ.
Here's the thing though, and this is where it goes back to levels. Kobe actually did take some very dumb shots.
His was out of confidence, though. It wasn't
wild play.
It wasn't low IQ.
Russ has a lot of shots.
Like, that's who Kobe was. Like, exactly. Westbrook can't make those plays.
That's the levels I'm talking about, B. Okay. That's the levels I'm talking about.
All right, I'm with you.
Because if Russ makes those plays, we don't say anything, right?
I don't think
Kobe
even
has consistently made those plays with that competitive streak, and we look at him as what he is, a GOAT, one of the greatest of all time, and one of the toughest shot makers ever.
But it's the fact that, in my opinion,
it's the talent level.
Where does that talent come from, though? How do you get that talent?
Gym work, for sure.
I'm not going to sit here and say Russ isn't in the gym. I'm going more of the low IQ route. And not even low IQ route, just low IQ route for how good you are. Like,
I think. Don't get me wrong when I say, I'm not saying Russ doesn't touch a ball when it's the summertime. He, for sure, because of his game, he has to keep his body in tip-top shape.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not saying he's not keeping his body in shape. I'm not saying he's not in the gym. But there's, and we all have hooped. You're mm-hmm. still in the AAU game, so we were with these kids, getting them better every day. There's a difference between stepping in the gym and getting a sweat and working on your game. There's so many. A lot of these kids have workout videos. This quarantine, a lot of these kids got workout videos.
Still can't do it.
But
can't do a triple threat.
How many guys are getting better, though?
I feel you.
Why has Russ become a worse free throw shooter post-MVP?
Post-Kevin Durant.
Why have your percent? And not even just like, dang, 83, 78. No, bad.
No, I feel you.
Why?
Once again, like I said, I'm not taking.
You are getting paid to do this.
Hey,
at least free throw. I'm with you. At least free throw.
Free throws, that's such an old head thing.
That's something that you can't excuse.
Work like that least is just free like, throws. Dude,
this is your job.
Yeah,
it's your livelihood.
Like, I can excuse 3 points. Sometimes people just ain't good shooters. Yeah. You don't have good touch, whatever. But free throws, like, nah, bro.
I feel you. No, I definitely understand exactly what you're saying. Like, I do not disagree at all. But once again, like I said, and this is not in objection to what you're saying. It's more so in line to it. It's hard to say the competitive streak is the problem or not the problem when you're looking at these levels. If his confidence is through the roof. His confidence is just as high.
That's what gets
him. His confidence is just as high as Kobe's. And at least in my opinion. It's just
as high as anybody.
It's irrational confidence.
I wouldn't even call it irrational because
if you don't think you're the dude, you will never even, you don't have a chance against the dude.
Fact.
And that's why I said totally agree. Westbrook.
It's IQ.
Confidence is the underestimated attribute of basketball.
It's the IQ, I think. Because when your confidence is too high, that can mess up your IQ.
I'm just saying it's talent level. I really think it's talent level. Because if you diminish the talent level of Kobe, This might be what you get.
So here's the you're saying if Kobe didn't work out as much as he did.
I mean,
that's what I want you to understand. Like, yes, there is a certain like there's a certain amount of talent that the Lord gave him, but like, there's a certain amount of work that he did put into that allowed him to hit those shots.
I understand what you're saying, Lee. I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is we saw Kobe make some wild shots. It might be due to the gym work. It might be due to the God-given talent.
It's both.
It's both. It's both. Exactly. It's both.
I always say it's both. It's a combination.
Both. It's both. All I'm saying is that is missing.
So here's the thing with Westbrook. And like I said, I'm not trying to talk in circles, but like I get where everybody's coming from. Could he work on other things in the gym? Absolutely. Is it like his talent level isn't up to par? Probably. Like he's probably a little notch below Kobe in terms of pure talent. Like say he probably has not worked on his game as much as Kobe did. But my problem with Westbrook isn't all of that. Like I said, the competitiveness, the IQ, the problem is he does not recognize situations.
That's
like
huge.
You spent all that time with KD and it's still you still couldn't figure out, hey, I have maybe the greatest score of the generation. Here. Like I will get triple doubles quarters 1 through 3. Fourth quarter, here, KD, take us home. Paul George, same kind of aspect. Like, yo, Paul George is having an MVP season. Granted, he is playoff P at times. He dips into playoffs or whatever. Like, yo, if you're talking about being this triple-double point guard, like, be the guy who makes sure Paul George gets 40. You had Carmelo Anthony. Granted, was on the decline, but was still a great ISO scorer. Like, yo, you don't have to shoot a 17-foot pull-up every single time. Like, understand situation. He could still have the exact same talent, exact same skill set right now. If he just made better decisions at crucial moments, we would think about him totally differently.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure.
We would think about him totally differently.
That's what I will always say the difference between him and prime D Rose was. D Rose had a much higher IQ down the stretch. Like, we talk about how young the Thunder made it to the finals. D Rose, a year prior, was battling the Heatles.
I thought it was the same year.
2012, 2011. When do you go to the
same
finals?
Same year.
Yeah, they beat D Rose that year in the
to get there?
Yeah. Finals, and then they played the Heat.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I think they went 6.
I'm about to look.
Yeah,
Bulls
the one seed that year.
Bulls went to the conference finals one of those years.
Yeah.
No, he did. He got hurt 2012. It was 2011 that they were in the conference finals. They played, I think
it was his MVP season.
Because he got hurt 2012 though. They played in the conference finals. I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking at it right
now. That 2011 year.
So, yeah,
they went this
2010, 2011, they lost in 5 in the conference finals.
To the Bulls.
To the Heat.
The Bulls lost to the Heat.
The Bulls lost to the Heat.
That was 2011.
Conference finals in 5.
But mind you, they don't play the Thunder to the following year. So, I was just talking about, like, the Thunder were young, but, like,
they lost to the Mavs that year.
Moral of the story is, D. Rose, I felt like, was going to have a more winning career because I feel like better winning situation. They listen to Tibbs. They never listen to Scott Brooks. The team, just from a culture standpoint, everybody knew their role. There wasn't no who's going to take this last shot. They knew who it was.
Yeah.
That's true.
D-Rose just
I think D-Rose is just also a more gifted scorer than Westbrook.
I think D-Rose worked on his game, though, because when he got the MVP, man, he had a much – it wasn't great, but it was a much better three ball than when he came in.
Oh, yeah.
It was halfway – it was – that three ball that D-Rose had that MVP year, Russ would kill for right now.
So I'm glad we're in agreement, though. If they lose tonight, they got to blow this up.
So, like, yeah, game 7
mm-hmm. –
Thunder 7.
Thunder 7, man. This is crazy. So I can't believe I'm saying this.
This game can only go one of two ways. Either Houston has to blow them out early and keep that lead. They have to be up 15 plus going into the fourth. Like, they have to be. If this game is close coming down the stretch, OKC's winning.
And the scary thing about that, the fact that you... If they're going to play typical Houston basketball, which is like we're going to avoid the midi, you run that risk of with trays, especially at that high of a clip, there will be ups and downs.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the whole series.
It would be poetic if they missed 20 straight threes.
I mean,
it would be poetic.
When I talk about like my dream scenario for like a game 7 with OKC?
Nah.
So like my dream scenario, like I said, it was almost game 6 to an extent. I just wanted to be in game 7 now. It's basically, like I said, the game is tight down the stretch. It's like a 2-3-point game. James Harden comes down, ISO, dribble, pull up, air ball. Russell Westbrook gets the rebound, dribbles it off his foot, out of bounds. Chris Paul comes down, elbow jumper for the win, game over. That's my dream scenario for this series.
Dang. It could very well happen, too.
You can call me what you want. I want Chris Paul to get his revenge. Because what they did to him was just wrong.
Yeah, Chris, Chris is here for it. He's definitely just, here for it.
It's funny, like I was telling the T, for 2 years ago, they're up 3-2, closest Houston's ever been to a finals. CP3, because he's hurt, doesn't play 6 or 7. Mind you, yeah, he's not hurt. It's a hammy. Could he have tried it? Maybe. He had to secure the bag, though. I don't blame him for doing that. Because him being a plus 30 point guard, any Nick could knock him out of that 40 mil like range a year, which is what he's getting now. So it's just funny going from that, being up 3-2, not playing with Harden, to 2 years later, Harden, you can have your mans. I'm going to beat you in a 3-2. That'd be crazy. That would be interesting.
We'll see.
I'm here for it.
Game one, Miami-Milwaukee. Heat 115, Bucks 104. Jimmy Butler gets a 40 ball.
Playoff Jimmy.
Two steals and a block. I think he also had like 4 assists, 5 boards, I think. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 18 points.
12 shots.
12 shots, 10 boards. Goran Dragic dropped 27. And, of course, Chris Middleton had a 28. I think was on 12 of 24. Are we going to overreact to game one?
I wasn't going to until I started watching this game, too. This is looking bad.
I was looking at, for those, we're watching game one, right? I mean, game two right now. Miami's up by 5 in the third, around 6 minutes left, 77-72.
They've been up the whole way.
The whole game, essentially. I looked at game one, Chris Middleton. I was like, Chris Middleton's not playing better than this. Chris Middleton's not
he did his job.
Chris Middleton did his job.
He did his job.
And he did his job. Above his pay grade.
Yeah.
He did his job. 28?
He had 28?
Yeah.
That's above his pay grade. 12,
24.
20, yeah, 20. Hey, he had 28, 6, and 5. He did his job.
And I looked at it. I looked at his stats. I was like, he's not going to play. He can't play better than this. He can't do this again.
He's going to get hurt.
And guard Jimmy.
Get hurt if he gets one more 28 ball.
Like, I know. Like,
remember when Deli almost freaking passed trying to guard Steph? Remember?
Nah, he was in the hospital for dehydration.
Bruh, that was crazy. Nah, I think Chris get one more 30 ball, bruh.
He's right there.
He might get right he might need to get that man an IV, bro. Woo. I ain't got this many buckets in two games. I usually sprinkle in like a low teens game in between here.
So, first, once again, do we overreact to game one? Or are we ready to overreact since we're watching game two a little bit now?
Well, I'll say what we are, and I was saying this. T agreed with me. There's a scenario.
Still hooping though,
huh? All right, Chris, oh yeah, now he's going, which is crazy. That scenario was, the role players did whatever. Chris hooped. Other guys, what did the other guys do for Milwaukee outside of Chris Middleton?
Brooke Lopez had a good game.
Brooke Lopez had once again. That was the thing. Brooke Lopez, I think, had
24.
He hit five threes.
So it was shocking. So it was a scenario most didn't think. Giannis did not come to play. And I would say from the standpoint of, yes, he was there, but systematically, he was not able to.
Miami took foul trouble. Miami took him out of the game. He got foul trouble. Like,
that's because of his style of play, though. Like, you're not going to be able to just arch or square your way to a conference finals appearance.
Well,
right
I
now.
Can't say he had him foul trouble early, but yeah, like
he still played.
I dismissed that because you had three early and you didn't pick up another. So I'm not even gonna blame foul trouble.
Foul trouble, bro.
You need to hit a free throw.
And you need to
need to hit a free throw.
That was real.
That's 15 foot shot. Like all I'm trying to say is you need to hit a free throw line. That was nobody's in front of you, dog. Did he airball one?
Yep. Yeah. You need to shoot more than 12 shots.
Yeah, like I don't care the fact that he shot 50% from the field. Like you need to shoot more. Like your team's losing. I'd rather you shoot 37% and you're the best option all the time rather than do what he did.
Right.
I felt like he just settled.
I don't feel comfortable about their chances winning if he's not even getting 25. Like, what? Like, is that the Milwaukee Bucks? If he's like, he's not even getting, you know what I'm saying, 18?
Once again, like, I look at this and I was not expecting both Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton to go out and give me 20 pieces.
I mean, that's normally not Milwaukee's strategy. Milwaukee's strategy is everybody else plugs in anywhere from 10 to
15.
Like 15. Like Middleton might end up low 17, 20. Everybody just kind of plugs in here and there, and Giannis goes and gets his 30. That just wasn't the case that game.
Yeah.
So
and then you take into account, everyone is saying
Jimmy Butler got hot.
Smelled blood.
Essentially, nobody could guard him. And the only person that maybe had a chance didn't take on the challenge.
And what do y'all think about
that? When asked about that, everyone was like,
I like Jimmy's response. I like Jimmy's response more than
what was Jimmy's response?
Jimmy's response, he said, he gave props to Giannis. He said he's one of the best help side defenders in the league. He's defensive player of the year. Like, it makes sense. And legit, like, last game, Giannis did beat Jimmy at the rim. Like, it's not like he was getting cooked or anything like that.
Right.
Do I want to see Giannis stressed out on Jimmy from, you know, 28 feet out? Like, no. I think that's taking Giannis away from
what he does best.
Exactly. So it makes sense that he didn't go mano a mano with Jimmy. They're not even like a matchup if you're talking about size wise. It didn't make sense.
Like,
I think it was an egotistical question by the reporter.
It's a mainstream question. Because mainstream is looking at it saying, you're supposed to be defensive player of the year. If you're defensive player of the year,
why didn't you go guard the guy that's getting 40?
Right.
Because he probably would have ended up with 48. Like, let's be real. And that's not a shot at Giannis at all. But if you know basketball and you know matchups and you know how this works, Giannis is best coming off of the help side to stop Jimmy in those situations. It's not my fault that Jimmy's hitting turnaround jumpers on all the perimeter defenders. What is Giannis supposed to do about that? Like,
and my thing is, I have never seen anyone tell Anthony Davis or Dwight Howard,
go guard a guard.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert.
And that's the type of defender Giannis is. He's not a one-on-one defender. He's in that vein of Anthony Davis. He's going to hedge out hard on pick and rolls. He's going to drop to the rim. He's going to, like, that's what Giannis does. So
I'll say in today's basketball, though, AD and Giannis, they both have that ability. If they need to, they need to switch.
I'm not going to get Jimmy.
In a possession, I'll say, let's say it's something like, so people gave flack for, and right as we said, Dallas had set that screen, Kawhi switched off, dices up Reggie. Some people, you told me, why did Kawhi allow that switch? Like, in those scenarios, same way, Kawhi should not have given up that switch. In those situations, Giannis should not switch off. If I'm Giannis and I'm guarding whoever the big is, if the event they're screening me, to play it safe, to not give up a lob at the rim, I'm just going to switch and I'm going to go with Jimmy. Whoever else it is, cool. I'd rather, let's see if we can make Bam catch it from 15 feet out or something like that, rather than Jimmy dicing up whoever it is he wants to.
Right. So, I mean, I think those are the two things that kind of stuck out in my mind in terms of what the media was saying, in terms of what I saw in the game. He can win this series. I said it already. I'm gonna say it again. He gonna win this heat.
I picked Bucks in seven. Like I said, I was kind of predicting or assuming. I was kind of assuming Miami was gonna win game one because, like I said, Bucks only had like a day off to prepare. Miami's been sitting for like 5-6 days getting their game plan ready, scouting. Like you could see like they were locked in game one. They knew what they were trying to do. And Milwaukee was kind of trying to adjust, like realizing, oh, this is not Orlando. This is Miami.
Right.
We got to play differently. So I kind of expected that, like I said. But now we're watching game two, and you can just see, like, this is just going to be a hard-fought series for Milwaukee all the way around. And right now, my biggest issue with Milwaukee, and I hate doing this to Mike Budenholzer because I think he's a fine coach, y'all got the same problem Houston has right now. Your offense too many threes. It's too stagnant. It's no ball movement. It's predictable. Miami knows it's coming. And the problem now is you're facing a Miami team that has a ton of really good wing defenders.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good strategy. It's not a good recipe. So unless Giannis, I need to see Giannis in the post more.
Like, we
realize he can't shoot.
Well, I think the issue with Giannis in a post, that should have been something that got worked on in the summer.
Fact.
You don't do that in the second round of the playoffs.
I think Giannis has a decent post game. They just don't give
I don't think it's good enough for the playoffs. I don't think it's good enough to rely on for a series.
I think it is.
I don't think his half-court game is.
He will demand. I think Giannis, like, see, you can see, anytime he touches the ball 5 feet away from the basket, it's an automatic double team. He will demand a double team away from the basket.
For sure.
That's all you need him to do.
For sure.
The problem with their offense
right
now.
And you're talking about moving the ball afterwards. I thought you were talking about going into the post and trying to get a bucket.
I mean, he's going to get his too. Like, I feel like he would get 30 easier that way than trying to do what he's trying to do right now. Like,
yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The closer he is to the basket, the better.
For sure. I think he needs to develop his post game more.
I mean, of course, it still needs work, but
It's nothing I'm going to rely on, because just as easy as he can get 30 easier.
Right.
I have seen Giannis airball out of the post on smaller defenders. It's whether it's touch, footwork, it's a lot of skill that goes into that that needs to develop more. I don't think you just switch that right now. As far as the ball moving in terms of the offense, that is something that needs to happen like immediately. Fact. Immediately. Like, but even though still then, I'm just going to double down. I'm still taking Bucks in six. I got Bucks winning this game. I actually had Bucks winning game one, and I thought the Heat were going to come out and win 2 and 3. Mm. But Heat low-key shocked me when they won game one. I think the Bucks are going to get it tonight, and I think they're going to get it next. They're going to tie it up at 2-2, and then I think the Bucks are going to get two more.
So I'm sticking with my Bucks picking seven, but Bucks man, seven, Bucks it's six. Not a confident pick right now.
You said Bucks as well, Leek?
I believe I did. I feel like you a just part
said
of me.
It. That's the funny part.
Like, no, I'm saying Sunday. I'm trying to think what I had said Sunday.
Oh, okay.
What I am interested to see, the only thing with the Heat, if Jimmy has enough actual buckets throughout the course of a 7-game series, and the Heat win for sure. I think last year showed when he had played Kawhi, like, there's a level of where Kawhi Leonard's at amongst two-way wings, and I think there's a level where PG is at. I think Jimmy is actually somewhere in between that.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to have those bad mental days that PG has. I think what could maybe inch him towards that Kawhi level is we know you're going to bring it on the defensive end, and we know you're going to help us do everything you can to help us win.
Right.
Do you now have enough elite offense in you to carry us to a chip? Can he do, not saying he has to average 40 every night, but he smelled blood in the water and he started.
He went and got it.
And he closed it. That is not what he did last year against Kawhi. Like, he kept.
To defend Jimmy a little bit about last year, the Sixers were dysfunctional.
Yeah, and that's one thing that he did talk about as well. That was like a crate. And that could be.
Did he have the freedom to go out there and get it against, like, because if we just look at it on paper, or even if we go back and look at it, if the Sixers operate a little bit differently, I got them getting past the Raptors. Yeah. I think I had them going to the finals last year.
Yeah, and that's why I was thinking, like, this could be a scenario in the event they win. Like, we could be giving Jimmy, like, the credit that I think a lot of the world didn't want to give him. They wanted to call him this. They were almost playing him like he was two-guard T.O., in a sense. From how he, like, handled himself in locker rooms.
Man, he was acting like it.
I ain't even gonna lie. Like, it was something like that between, like, how he left Chicago, and then he went to Minnesota, and then they got Tibbs there, and then that went left, and then, like, he came to Philly. So,
I mean,
like,
perception is reality. It's just right now, the mainstream loved with the Heat. Thing, he was loved with the Bulls. Minnesota didn't like him because Cat didn't like him.
He was loved with the Sixers. Like, Sixers
and Joel Embiid did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons.
Well, supposedly Brett Brown didn't either.
Yeah, Brett Brown and Ben Simmons.
Which I find hilarious.
But that's what I'm saying. It's all perception. Like, yeah. If you put a guy like Jimmy in a culture that he loves and embraces, you're going to see that he's a great leader, phenomenal guy. Everybody's going to have good things to say about him. But if you put him in a contrasting environment, the Timberwolves with Andrew Wiggins, Cat, and all those guys who didn't want to play hard,
right?
Now he's going to look like the villain.
Right.
I mean, like I said, we've seen that with Chris Paul. We've seen that with Jimmy Butler. Like I said, truth be told, we saw with Kobe. Like, people always say, like, Kobe Bryant was a bad teammate. Like, no, he wasn't. Like, go look at all the people that say great things about Kobe. They're all hard workers. They're all people that come in the gym. They work hard. They do their job.
You say something bad about Kobe, you're probably trash.
But, you know, it's the people that say bad things about Kobe or he was a bad teammate are people who either weren't in the league Dwight that long Howard, or have been known for having a lackadaisical work ethic. Mm-hmm. Like, Jordan's kind of the same way. You know, I kind of think Jordan was a butthole, too. But whatever. Like, most of those guys are perceived as buttholes. Like, people don't like them because they're all 100% in. Jimmy Butler had a great quote the other day when they were in the first game. Everybody was asking, like, oh, you bring your family in? He's like, nah, this is a business trip.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for one thing. Like, and that doesn't mean I don't miss my family. And truth be told, if I was him, I probably would have the same mindset. Like,
yeah, there's some. This is what this bubble is.
All my relationships end when basketball season starts.
The bubble is really just going to bring out, like, part of the reason you're going to win a championship is you were able to actually focus on basketball the most for, like, 3 straight months. Everybody in the league cannot do that.
Right.
Dudes don't be locked in an entire playoffs when it's, like, home games.
Under regular circumstances, yeah.
Now you're stuck in a gym or you're stuck in, like, a campus where you got to play every other day.
Right.
And, like, the home court advantage that is somewhat going to be created, like, while it used to be, of course, home, you travel, you have days off, like, the home court advantage is now created, like, do you get your series out of the way quick enough?
And that's why I said, going back to the Nuggets thing, that is going to be, they're exhausted.
Right.
And that's why I said the Clippers are going to try to get them out of the way as fast as possible, because you don't want to stretch a series that you could get out the way in five. And then you have to play the Lakers next.
Yeah.
Like, worst case scenario, Clippers go seven.
You want
Lakers might end that series in
four,
five.
They will end it. I think they'll end it in four. I think Bron has been in enough playoffs, and he is so tactical. He's letting his guys know we need to sweep these dudes.
Oh, yeah. They're sweeping whoever comes out next game.
Yeah. And if I'm Kawhi and them, like,
I don't want to see OKC. I'm not going to lie.
I think,
as much as I'm rooting for him, I don't want to see him.
I don't think they just have, I don't know if CP3, because of how big the Lakers are, I don't think CP will be able to dice them up.
CP3 scares me. He's scared.
He's killing from the mid-range. But I don't think he's going to be able to dolo Lakers. Yeah. Like, the way he's playing against Houston, it's not going to work that way. You're not going to be able to manipulate the game.
Switches like that.
Or period. Just manipulate the game against the Lakers like that. It's a totally different team. I feel like
it'd be better. Who's guarding them again?
It doesn't matter. I think the team is just better. That much better. Significantly better than Houston operates. I think the Lakers are on a totally different level. Like, they're not going to push.
I agree. The Lakers are way better than Houston.
Who's better defensively? Who's better defensively?
The Lakers.
Of course, of course.
But
the Chris Paul matchup is head over heels crazy.
Much better.
Like,
Chris Paul.
That's what I said. Chris Paul can be Chris Paul, and they can still lose by 10 against the Lakers. Man. I mean, like, he's not going to play the game that much.
Like I said, I'm not necessarily going to disagree with that. All I'm saying is Chris Paul scares me in situations like that. Because if you're telling me Chris Paul can literally manipulate an entire game, which we've watched him do his entire career, I believe he can get two. Like, if he can control the tempo of the game, get the mismatches he wants, get the switches
he
wants.
If he gets two, Bron or AD, they just
lacked. And honestly, he should have
gotten if he gets two. We got to give OKC credit at some point. They've been a good team.
A good team.
All year. They've been the most clutch team all year. Like, they've won pretty much, like, I think.
A lot of games in the clutch they have.
I think they've won, like, 32 of, like, 50 games in the clutch. Like, they've been phenomenal. Okay, like I said, I fear OKC more than Houston because I know Houston won't show up when the going gets tough. Like, I feel like they'll fold. OKC, I feel like you put them, have them down 20 in the first quarter, and they're just going to be like, all right, let's get back to it.
But the reason, two things. One, I feel like that scenario won't work for OKC because when you're in a down, when you get down early like that 20, for one, yes, you got to get stops to get back in the game, which I think they have enough ability to get stops. But what you don't have, or what you need in those scenarios, you do need firepower to get you back in the game and somewhat cut the lead, at least somewhat quick. And I don't think OKC shoots the ball well enough.
I said this last episode. Yes, we don't have enough guys, especially wing guys, that can create shots and score.
So we're asking.
But I might disagree. They might have a harder time defending LeBron James than they do James Harden, Russell Westbrook. And Anthony Davis. Like, I mean, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, as opposed to Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Because those guys attack relentlessly. Attack. It's no 3-11s. We're downhill every play.
But that's my whole point.
And that's why it's going to be hard. And I don't think, like, this does not get the six.
Offensively, if you're telling me, I'm sorry, if you're telling me, and I understand, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, super smart, Danny Green, super smart defensive players. Chris Paul is hands down one of the smartest guards to ever
Danny Green can't guard Chris Paul. I know.
No, of course not.
I don't think
he can. I'm just talking about good defenders out there. I wasn't really trying to say he's going to be in front of him. But you're telling me Alex Caruso.
I guess Rondo now.
Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Rondo versus Chris Paul.
I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Am I missing somebody? If you tell me those three guys are standing in front of Chris Paul, that's barbecue chicken. I'm sorry.
And I don't think Chris Paul's going to have a bad game or anything. I literally think Chris Paul can have it's one of those scenarios where Chris Paul can have
it goes back to what we said about the Houston series. How close can they keep it? How close can OKC keep it? Can Gallo hit enough shots? Can Chris Paul manipulate the game enough to make sure Shea gets buckets? Schroeder gets buckets. Long enough to make the game last down the 2-minute stretch.
In the last 4 minutes,
all bets.
I fear Chris Paul.
All bets are off when Chris is on the court.
And once again, this isn't to say LeBron wouldn't take over. It's not to say AD wouldn't. Yeah. It's just like I fear Chris Paul more in that scenario than I do Harden or Westbrook.
Gotcha.
That's all I'm saying.
Nah, straight up. I don't think Houston stood a chance at all. And I think what OKC will do, I think they will have much tougher. But I think Houston series would have been like, it probably would have been fireworks, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and we see them do something stupid in the last 2 minutes every game. It could very well be like that, kind of on some like, dang, this was a letdown. I think OKC, those series, I think that would be more of potential. It's either going to be tight all the way through, or I think it'll just be blowouts from start to finish, because their offense is heavy on Shea, Chris,
Dennis.
We're going to get downhill.
Right.
Now, of course, with Houston, there's no rim protection
at all.
So they can get to
the
rim and finish.
My whole point, like, Chris Paul can manipulate out of that situation, out of a pick and roll. He can hit those elbow jumpers. Mm-hmm. I don't got Dennis hitting that consistently. I don't have Shea hitting that consistently. Phenomenal player.
Out of the three people you named, I would say Shea has the least chance. Dennis Schroeder has proven that he can dice up.
But that's what I'm saying. But a lot of them get to the rim.
They get to the rim. Especially Dennis. Dennis is getting to the rim.
It's one thing doing it against P.J. Tucker. It's another thing doing it with
Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee, Dwight.
Dwight Howard.
And now think about
that changes the entirety of your offense, because you're facing a different kind of defense.
And Dennis, if we're talking drive and kick,
I've seen Dennis hit middies. I'm sorry.
It's how efficient. If you want to say
Dennis has enough middies to get y'all two games,
no, he don't.
I'm not gonna argue with it.
This is not me saying they're getting six, it's going six. All I'm saying is it's a lot more interesting. It's a lot more interesting because of those three guys.
I think it's better basketball than the Houston.
And I think Dennis Schroeder is slightly slept on in this series a little bit.
Oh, he's just a starting point guard in the league.
I mean, and just in this series, not slept on in the league, but in this series, he's slept on because, like you said, of course, he likes to get to the rim, he likes to get the lays, and then you're dealing with Dwight Howard as a footer, JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, all these guys at the rim waiting on you. Yeah, good luck. The guy can shoot. Like, he's not a poor shooter at all. Now, his three ball is a little spotty here and there, but he can actually dice up and get his spots on the court. And what Chris Paul said about him is true. He's a dog. He comes to work. He comes to play. And you're dealing with guys like that who keep their ice in their veins throughout the entire game. But a cool-headed guy like Shea. I like it.
It's not a negative on them. It's just the initial topic was, how many games do the OKC Thunder get? I get it. We can hype up their talent. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you just said. How many games do OKC get with that against the Lakers?
Three.
But you went from 7 to 3. But that's the question in terms of the day. Like, it's not disrespectful for me to think the Lakers sweep the OKC Thunder. I think they should, because I think that they're that much better of a team.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think they're going to frustrate OKC because they are going to take away that downhill attack to the cup. If you want to rely on those mid, you're going to have to rely on those jump shots, first of all. And I just don't see that happening across the series where you get two games.
They only got one dude that is an elite mid-range jump shooter. And even still,
that's most teams in the league.
most teams. Like, it's very few. So, like, Chris, yes. But mind you, even that guy, at the end of the day, it is going to make you cringe. Not cringe, but, like, you're rolling your dice on a 35-year-old point guard still.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is still, like, a man's game, but it's still, like, a youth game.
I feel you.
So he's 35. Like I said, Schroeder, I don't think he has enough middies to get you to two games. Shea, I don't know. I just think, for one, like I just been saying, I think he's still growing. He's still in a sense where he's growing.
Still. Like, he's still a baby.
He's 20. Like, he's just still learning this thing. And, like, yeah, we could drive and kick, but the only guys that we have that we could kick to, or really that you know for sure, like, I'm always going to be comfortable kicking to this dude, is Gallinari or Chris Paul. Yeah. Mind you, Chris is sometimes attacking. So, like, I just don't think it works systematically for them.
I agree with everything y'all said. Yeah. Like I said, if I had to make a pick, I'd probably go Lakers in 5. But once again, I just see a scenario where for some reason or another, the game stays close and Chris Paul just pulls one out of the hat.
Now,
like,
what OKC can do, they can do what Dallas did and expose a chink in the Lakers' armor. I'm just sure throughout the course of this series, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a game, it'll be something that'll be like, oh. Because if they win, it's going to be because Chris Paul just out-coaches Bron down the stretch. It's definitely going to come down to that.
I could totally see Chris Paul pulling that off.
I'm looking forward to the mind game between those two guys.
I can totally see it.
Well, all right.
Because aren't they both 30? They're both 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. What y'all say about the Celtics and Toronto series?
We haven't talked about that.
We haven't talked about it.
God, that's how boring that series is, though.
That's the Celtics and six. Celtics and six.
Bro, they might go up 3-0 tomorrow.
Man, like, I really want Toronto to pull this out, but man.
You just love Nick Nurse.
I do. I love Nick Nurse as a coach. But nah, like, Boston's... The difference between the two teams is very evident. Boston has a rising superstar, and Toronto doesn't.
Is that it?
I'm going to give them hope. Toronto gets game three tomorrow.
I think so.
I don't think they go down 3-0. Not defending champs. Yeah. Not Nick Nurse.
I'm just giving them a game three off of respect.
Yeah.
It's going six. It's going six. I'll be nice.
Okay, I'll be nice.
It's Celtics six. Celtics six. So I'll be nice for sure. They're getting two.
Don't let me down, Nick Nurse.
It's more than Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's a huge part.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown is
Marcus Smart, dog.
Oh, both of them might
be my pseudo defensive player of the year. Like, you said something like, too. I'm gonna give you credit. I don't do this often. You're gonna have to take this. Marcus Smart can play the five. He can play the four. Yeah, he can play the three. He can play the two. He can play the one. And he has done that throughout.
Let me clarify.
My dude has been hooping, bro.
Let me clarify what I mean by when I say like Boston has an ascending superstar and Toronto doesn't.
They got two of them.
And who? Huh? Oh yeah, an ascending superstar.
Ascending superstar and Jason Tatum. Like I said, game one wasn't really close, but game two was relatively close. It was going back and forth, nip and tuck, and every time Toronto wanted to pull away or try to reestablish the lead or whatever the case may be, they didn't have somebody that could change the momentum.
Right.
Boston has somebody that is doing that.
They got two.
This is also make
him and Kimba, also can do it.
They got two.
They got actually. They got three.
I don't know Brown's there yet.
Nah, bro. He's on the way.
He's on the way.
I thought about Jalen.
I agree. Next year, he's on the way.
Next year might be that.
He's on the way.
Next year,
bro. He's on the way.
He's there.
Y'all go, bro. I gotta show that man some love. Y'all go.
No, show love. No, we're here with you.
Tatum and Kimber are doing it here, and then like he's.
I don't know if I would call Jalen Brown a closer yet.
He's not a closer.
And that's what I was thinking when we talk about Jason Tatum and Kimber. They are closers.
Cardiac Kimba has been.
He's been a closer since he's been 18.
He's a closer for sure. But what I'll say about Jaylen Brown, and I was thinking this because you used the word ascending, meaning we have not reached our. We have not reached our top.
Your peak?
No. Our peak yet. We're still ascending. What Jaylen Brown is doing this playoffs, he is coming with the energy I wish Paul George had right now. He is not there skill-wise. But the effort that he's putting on the floor right now, bro, he's going to be very, very, very... And we already know this, but like, the confidence that he's shooting the ball with, and he's... You can tell he's
so
worked on
So who would you
game.
Rather he's have be right all now, Jaylen or Paul George?
Bro, I was... We all watching game two yesterday and seeing Jaylen Brown,
bro. He's violated PG like three episodes.
I can't say this. It's deservingly so.
Only he can make this a thought. Only Paul George can make this a conversation.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Because what did you say? If he just tries.
Yeah, if he just plays hard.
But you know what he didn't do games two through, what is it, four? He did not play hard. Mm-mm. So yes, if you were going to have all of those tools and maybe use 20% of it, I would rather use the youngin that does not have as much as you, but he is he's going 110%.
Optimizing the bag.
Now here's the real kicker of a question. Would you rather have Shea and Danilo?
I was thinking about that when he had that first bad game, and I'll say no.
Okay.
I'll say no because I think it puts way too much pressure on Kawhi. Like Kawhi I don't think get to the finals if he didn't average 35 minimum.
That's fair.
Because look at what Shea's doing right now.
That's fair.
And if we have Shea right now, we're probably in a game seven. Because, yeah.
that series, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, just dogs, man. Just dogs. And then Brad Stevens, man.
Great coach.
Great coach.
But I'm hoping, don't let me down, Toronto. I hope I don't become Charles Barkley from the standpoint of everybody I pick.
This would be the year for you, dog.
It's looking messy.
Hey, bro.
This would be the year.
So, my picks. OKC tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Toronto tomorrow.
Okay.
This Milwaukee, Miami. I can't really make a pick. I'd be a cheapskate to make it in the fourth.
Yeah.
Make a pick in the fourth.
Yeah, I think Miami is up
four.
Oh, yeah, it was up six when I looked.
I'll predict the series. I will say... Milwaukee in seven. Actually, no. I don't think Giannis. I don't think Giannis has to back for it.
Immediately backed off.
Bro, I was like, get out of here, dog. Because the moment I said that, I was like,
immediately backed down.
That's what I go for.
The moment I said that, I was like, this is exactly how I felt internally when I said Philly was going to the finals months ago.
Go with your gut feeling.
Yeah, and no. Dang. Miami in six.
That's tough.
Miami in six.
All right.
Clips in five.
Chris Paul, I'm rooting for you tonight, man.
So where does Harden fall in all-time two-guard rankings if he were to lose tonight? Because we got to get off of that he's only behind Wade, now it's two guards. Right now, bro, Klay Thompson is one great finals appearance away from, I'm sorry, I don't care about MVP.
I can't do that.
I don't care about MVP.
That's a whole different
pod. I don't care about MVP.
That's a whole different
pod. If I wanted to win a
whole
game,
different pod.
Who would you rather have in tonight's game?
Are we considering AI two-guard or a point?
A whole nother podcast, bro.
Because that's the question I always ask.
We're about to go down a rabbit hole. Don't do it.
A whole nother podcast. Keith is looking at me.
Yeah, I ain't going to do it. But just think about that, fans. If that's Harden loses tonight, ooh.
How CP3, he was staring out Harden.
How free throw line?
Hey, some people are built for it and some aren't. Hey, bro, Clay, I know who will help me win tonight, for sure.
Yeah, Clay, you might not lost last game.
Let's go home.
Oh, in game sixes? Oh, Clay would have fucked. Come on, dog. Let's get out of here.
We went for 60.
Wow, that's a stat. That's a stat. Golly. That is not
good. I played both of them in the fourth.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, bro.
I said it.
There is a crazy scenario where Russ is just like, I'm not losing today.
Facts. And I wouldn't care.
I mean, he could keep that up, but like,
will it win
that doesn't game? That doesn't mean he's not going to lose. You know how many times I played games in my life and I just went in there thinking, I ain't going to lose.
You lost, yeah.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you just can't control it.
Listen, they could ball out tonight and win, and I would not care.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I know what's happening in the next round.
They should get to the second round and lose. That's exactly what they're supposed to do. Yeah. You win.
They're right on schedule.
I'm
just hoping OKC wins.
They shouldn't be in a seven right now. Not with this team.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Shout outs. Of course, like we mentioned before, shout out to John Thompson. Rest in peace to the Georgetown coach. Shout out to Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray putting up the most points between opposing players.
Yep.
In a series.
They went in a category.
They broke a whole lot of scoring records.
They went in a category of MJ and AI, which is both great.
MJ AI was in there. I think it was. Zero and LeBron was somewhere in that list too.
Down lower.
But I mean, they put themselves in great company.
Like the top five, top six.
Hands down, I'm almost willing to say so far it might be the series of the playoffs, depending on what happens further.
It might be.
Like that was.
That might have been the best playoff series
of
the season.
Does Jamal?
More questions.
No more.
We're going home.
All right. There's just yes or no. There's just yes or no.
We going home, bro. We going home. 9 o'clock. You keep that question. We bring it back.
I'm gonna just ask you off the pod as soon as you say
I don't know even who else to shout out, man.
I got a shout out. Shout out Doris Burke. You talking sweet about Doris Burke, I will slap you, and that's on my mama. Everybody on Twitter,
yeah,
they got anything to say about Doris, about her commentating, about anything, dog, you can come and see me.
We can debate it physically.
We got issues with that, dog. We not doing that.
Yeah, we support Doris on this show.
Nah, for sure.
She a friend of the show and she don't even know it.
Woman crush every day. No,
wow.
Talk sweet about Doris Burke.
I peeped. I ain't expect you to be that tight about it.
You didn't. My car named after that woman.
Wow.
It's facts. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
Shout out to the scammers. Shout out to the people who watch the games on streams and not on cable. Shout out to the hard workers. Shout out to the people who wake up every day with 9 to 5 and don't want to be there. You want to live out your dream and you're just trying to find a way to fund it.
Yep.
Shout out to the people who make a mixtape still and you still sell them out the back.
I ain't gonna listen. I might buy them if I got some loose change.
Shout out to the producers with the good beats and the producers with the bad ones.
Both of y'all need more credit.
Shout out to the poets. Shout out to the singers. Shout out to the musicians.
Shout out to the creatives.
Shout out to the creatives. We love you. As always, eat, sleep, breathe the game. Be safe. We out.
Clay over Harden, bro, if they lose tonight.
I don't know if I can go that far. I don't know if I can go that far. I mean, are we just saying for one game or all time?
I'm just saying that's